This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. This is turning into a crowded and tragic season on Mount Everest. Four people died this past weekend in what's been described as a traffic jam trying to get up to the top. The government in Nepal says a similar rush to the summit will begin again soon, because climbing the world's tallest mountain hasn't been the sole preserve of professional climbers for a while now. All kinds of people do it, and the more popular Everest gets, the bigger business it is. Nick Heil is a contributing editor at Outside Magazine. Nick, welcome to the broadcast.
Nice to be here.
It does seem to me this whole thing is an exercise in risk management, right? You got to figure out what you can handle, what you can take, and then you decide to go or not to go anyway.
Yeah, I think that's true of climbing generally, and it certainly is true of Everest. You're on the mountain for a long time, usually about 2 or 3 months, and you've got a lot of people, and it's just a complicated process of getting up high, and of course you've got a lot of dangerous terrain, and you're going to go to extreme altitude, so the risks are considerable, and it's kind of this loose confederacy of independent climbing teams that are trying to communicate, they're trying to cooperate, they're all trying to work together. I mean, everybody wants to stay safe, but everybody wants to summit too. So, you know, you've got to kind of manage this sort of frontier community over there, and how successfully that's done, I think, is a huge question mark, and it varies from season to season.
Well, and that's why you have these companies whose business it is, whose job it is, whose livelihood it is to get people up to the top safely, right?
The commercial guides that are up there, you know, they are taking on quite a chore, which is to get less experienced, in some cases inexperienced clients, up and down safely. And that's a big job.
It's also not a small industry, right? I mean,
it's not. I couldn't put any hard numbers on it for you, but I know there's quite a number of commercial operators that are up there. I think the last numbers I saw were about 750 total people. So, you know, that gives you an idea of the total crowd, and you can divide that into expeditions of anywhere from 10 to 60 people. And you've got quite a few different outfits that are working up there.
If I decide today that I want to do Everest next May, how much is it going to cost me?
If you want to go with a full-service outfitter that's got a good reputation, yeah, you can plan on spending about $60,000, and that may not include airfare to Nepal.
Tell me what happens up high on the mountain when this many people get there. What's the traffic jam? What happens?
Well, you know, the problem is that the route follows a single line. I mean, everybody's kind of funneled into this single footpath route up on these high ridges. And you can't really go around or pass other climbers. There aren't really variations to the route. You're really stuck going as fast as the person in front of you. So you can imagine, like, you're a fit climber who's trained all year, and you get stuck behind somebody who is not in as good a shape, or maybe they're not feeling well, or they're going more slowly. There's not a lot you can do about it because you don't want to unclip from the rope and expose yourself to the dangers. So, you know, in a way, that's kind of the process. You get up there, you get stuck in the line. There's not a lot you can do. It's like being in a traffic jam, you know, on I-5 trying to go to work. You can't go anywhere.
That sounds, it doesn't sound fun.
No, I don't think many people, whether or not they make it to the top of Everest, describe the process as fun.
Nick Heil, he's a contributing editor at Outside Magazine. His book about Mount Everest is called Dark Summit. Nick, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Kai.